This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
I don't know what difference or how you would define the difference between a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. But look at this simple definition. This is from a little boy. He says, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only that you don't spend as much on the present. And that's the difference for him between Father's Day and Mother's Day. And that shows us that, yes, we do appreciate our mothers. We do give them gifts and presents. But sometimes we don't really appreciate our fathers as much as we should. But I think that on Father's Day is a time that we all should not just celebrate and rejoice for the contribution and for the blessings that men have been to us, but to be proud of the men in our lives, to be proud of the men that we have in our churches, to be proud of the men that have helped us even along our walk with God. Talking about being proud of our fathers, there was this conversation between three young boys. They were talking to each other. They were bragging about their dad on Father's Day. And look at what the first boy said. He says, "My dad is so smart, he can talk for 1 hour on any subject." And the second boy looked at him and said, "Well, my dad is so smart that he can talk for 2 hours on any subject." And the third boy didn't want them to leave him out. He said, "Well, my dad is so smart that he can talk for 3 hours and he doesn't even need a subject to talk about." Whether that shows his dad's stupidity or not, we don't know. But all he's trying to do is to be proud and to boast that his dad can do something. And I think that that is the spirit on Father's Day that we should have, to rejoice that we have fathers, not just biological fathers, but spiritual fathers who have impacted our lives so much. And that brings us to this story that we have here, which is the story of Noah. I look at the story of Noah, and I think that the greatest accomplishment that Noah had in the scriptures is his family's faith. Noah's family's faith. You can accomplish all you can in this world, either as a man or as a father. But when you look at this story that the Bible tells us about Noah, not just in Hebrews chapter 11, but also going back to Genesis, you can see what God used him for. You can see how his faith also impacted his family. Because we know that, as the scripture tells us, Noah was raising a family in a very difficult time. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, I don't know if you noticed how the Bible describes the time that Noah lived. The Bible says there in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil." That was the time Noah lived. That was the generation in which he found himself. And I don't think that has changed, even for us as fathers or even mothers living in today's world. It's still the same thing. The thoughts and the intents of the heart of man has never changed. I'm sure that we saw over the news the church killings that took place in the States, where a young man, a 21-year-old, if I'm right, took a gun, walked into a church, and he sat down in a Bible study meeting. Now, how evil can one get? And sat down for 1 hour, and the pastor was speaking, every one of them were enjoying the Bible study meeting, and he stood up with his gun and killed about 9 of them. That tells us the thoughts, the intents of the hearts of man. Though we can't see it, but there is evil in the hearts of man. And that's the time that Noah lived in. That was the time when he was raising his kids. And it hasn't changed for us today. Fathers can attest to this. We are also living in that time where even fathers will tell you that some of them are worried with the standard of education, even in the schools today, where there is nothing about God that matters anymore. We are constantly being pushed away. The Christians haven't got a voice anymore, even in the places of education. But let's not be surprised. That will keep happening. That is the world in which we live in. But the Bible tells us again, if you look at verse 11, And I think this is of that same chapter 6. And you can see another description, not just the thoughts and the hearts of men, but look at verse 11. I just want to paint a picture so that as men or as fathers or as mothers, we can see what our responsibility is in the time that we live in. Look at verse 11. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God. Has anything changed? Compare that to the 21st century in which we live in. And he says, and the earth was filled with violence. Has anything changed? You can see that what we had right from the beginning of time is still what we have today. Although it might not be in the same way that we had them at the time when they didn't have guns and all those kind of weapons. But man is getting more and more violent. But then the Bible tells us in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6, and I like that phrase, that but Noah found grace. And it's a very important verse of scripture for us. In the midst of all the violence, in the midst of evil, in the midst of all that was happening around Noah, the Bible says Noah found grace. And I think that's where the lesson is for us this morning. How can I, as a father, how can you as a mother, how can you as a brother or as a sister or as an uncle or as a granddad or whatever that you are, how can you find grace in the eyes of God in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation? And I think that this is where the lesson of Noah should speak to each one of us here this morning. And there are three things I just would like to share with us quickly this morning, and just for us to take home by way of reflection. And I think that the first thing that made a difference in the life of Noah, irrespective of the time that he lived in, was that Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. And I think this is very, very important. If you go back to Genesis chapter 6, where we read, and you look at the verses there that we've read, which is verse 8, and then going into verse 9, where he says, but Noah found grace, he says, in the eyes of the Lord. But look at verse 9, and I think this is quite an interesting verse of scripture. It says, this is the genealogy of Noah. He says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and he says, Noah walked with God. And there you see the ingredients of Noah's salvation. There you see what made the difference in Noah's life and also in the life of his children. Even though he was living at a time when there was so much violence, the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of men were evil. And I always say this, especially to those who are worried about maybe the generation in which their children is being raised or what goes on in the schools. I said, as fathers or as a family, we have that sole responsibility to model the type of faith that God wants to see in the life of this generation. Now, we can't leave it to the society and say, well, somehow it's going to happen. Or somehow the teachers in their schools will instruct them and teach them the faith and how they ought to respond to God. God has called us as men, as women, as those who know the Lord to model that kind of faith. And that's why the scripture says there that Noah walked with God. In other words, he responded to the grace of God. He looked around him and he saw all the evil that was going on around him. He knew exactly what was happening. And Noah knew that if he did not respond in a different way towards God, it's likely that his children might go the way of the world that Noah lived in. And so Noah made up his mind. He said, though I live in a time and a season where there is so much violence, there is evil all around me, the thoughts and the intents of the heart of men are evil continually, but I will seek the face of the Lord my God. And I think that's why when you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, where I read to us earlier on, I don't know if you noticed in that verse of scripture, look at that, and that is where you see the word faith being used. In the Old Testament, the Bible was talking about grace, but now you see faith. But not just that did he respond, but he trusted in that God. Look at verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, the Bible says he was moved with godly fear. He was moved with godly fear. And I think that is very, very important in the times that we are living. Like I said, it's a time that there isn't any fear of God anywhere. You just go around the streets and call one or two or three people and ask them, what's your view about God? Or what do you think? about the warnings of Scripture or what the Bible says, and you can see that most of them will tell you either that there is no God, or they don't even believe that this world in which we live in, there's going to be another one after death. There is a life after this one. And that is the dominant thought of the age in which we live in. But the Bible says that by faith Noah, remember that at this time, he'd never seen the rain. He never knew what was going to happen. But God told him, "You build me an ark." And that was a simple life of obedience. That Noah began to do what exactly God commanded him. And you can see his faith and his trust. Anytime I read the story of Noah, I ask myself, says, can I do what Noah did? I've never seen rain before. And here you are being warned that there is going to come a flood that will destroy the world. Such a has never happened before. And you're told to build an ark. The question is, will I, by faith, do it even without seeing it? And this is what faith is about. Though your children, though the people that we pray for live in a world that have no values in terms of respecting God and honoring Him, by faith we can see what God wants our children to become. By faith we can warn them. By faith we can ask them that this is what God requires of them and pray that they come into that kingdom. And this is where Noah's faith makes the difference. And we know how the story unfolded, that as the flood came, Noah's family made it into the fold. So the first place to start with is that walk with God. That's why the Bible declared him to be a just man. He was righteous. His relationship with God was wholehearted. When you talk about walking with God, it talks about a relationship. We are not talking about just coming to church on a Sunday morning or coming to a prayer meeting once a week, but Noah's walk with God was consistent. He knew God's requirement for his life. He knew that this wasn't about playing church or playing religion. No, it was something that came from. He knew that God's grace has touched his heart. And Noah responded. And I think that that's the question that fathers and even mothers, and not just fathers or mothers, but we ought to be asking ourselves, how consistent is my walk with God? How consistent is my devotional life with God? When you talk about walking with someone, it is something that you do daily. You don't walk today, and then the next day you stop walking. You don't walk 2 months, and then the next month you stop walking. It is a consistent and a daily walk with God. And I think that this is what made Noah's faith quite unique. He lived in a time. I was speaking with someone, I think a couple of weeks ago, and you could see the worry on his face, and all he kept talking about was all the evil that's happening around us, and how he's worried of what will happen in this world, and how things are just getting bad and getting worse. I said, yes, I know all that is happening, but you know what, as a Christian, or as Christians, we are not really called to keep worrying about how the world is becoming or what's going to happen. All we are called to do is to lift up our heads when we see all these things happening around us, to look unto Jesus. He is the one that guides us. He is the one that directs us. He is the one that helps us to overcome all that we see around us. When we see wickedness, how do we respond? We respond with faith and hope. When we see death all around us and destruction all around us, how do we respond? We respond in a different way. And that is where the Bible started Noah's story with. Noah walked with God. Now, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and there's something else I noticed about Noah's faith in verse 7. Not only did he walk with God, but look at verse 7 again in Hebrews 11. He says there, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he was moved with godly fear. Then he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And then he says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Do you know what Noah was doing? Noah witnessed to others. And I think that is very, very important. Not just that by faith was he divinely warned of things yet not seen, but he was moved with godly fear and began to prepare something. And as he was doing that, he was witnessing and warning the people of the dangers that were to come. And I think that that's why when you look at the life of Noah, it speaks into our hearts. It speaks to me as a father. It should speak to you as a father, or as a grandfather, or as a brother, or as a sister. That not only are we called to walk with our God, and so many times we talk about the personal relationship we have with God. You know, when you give your heart to Jesus, we say, well, it's a personal relationship. But it doesn't stop there. We are called to witness. And it's in that witnessing that we warn people of the dangers of disobedience towards God. And this is what Noah kept doing. I don't know how many of us have seen that movie that was made about Noah and the flood. After he built the ark, or while he was building it, and the men came, if you go to Genesis and read the full story, they were making fun of him and looking at him and saying to him, "Well, do you ever think that there will be a flood that will destroy the world?" And Noah kept warning them, "This is what God has told me. This is what I have received." And he kept speaking that over and over and over again. And that is what we as Christians, not just as Christians, we as men or we as women are called to do. We are called to warn the generation that we live in. We are not just called to walk with God and say, "Well, this is a personal relationship. It is my walk with Him. It shouldn't affect any other person living around me." But as you walk with God, that witness that you have, that walk that you have with Him, also in a way affects others. Because as a Christian, you can't find yourself in the midst of unbelievers and somehow without witnessing, either by your conduct, either by the words that you speak, or there is something about you they will notice and know that you have encountered the grace of God. But like we all know today, Christians, like I said, we have been pushed farther away from society that we don't even want to talk about what God has done in our lives anymore. Actually, some are very ashamed to speak for Jesus, but not Noah. Yes, there was evil around him. There was destruction around him. Things weren't happening. He lived in a generation where there was no respect whatsoever for God. But Noah kept speaking. Noah kept walking. If you look at 2 Peter, actually you see a description of Noah in 2 Peter, and I think I quite like that one. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm just going to show you a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, this is talking about Noah again. Look at how the Bible describes him. It says in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah." It says, "one of 8 people." And look at the description there. It says, "a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." Do you see the description again? Not only are we talking about a man who was just, who was righteous, who was perfect before God, but also a preacher of righteousness. And so that tells me that while he was building the ark, he was preaching. He was using that to speak to the generation in which he lived in. And I think that that is what our lives as Christians, our families should always reflect. To preach about the grace of God. To warn people of the lives of disobedience and the consequences that will come out of that. Before I gave my life to Christ, one thing that I remember clearly, especially in my own family, was my mother's, it is still my mother's faith. She kept warning us. She kept reminding us. Yes, this is what Jesus has done for you. He loves you so much, but at the same time, there is a warning. She kept speaking about it. When she sees us doing the things that grieve not just her own heart, but the heart of God, she will call us to order and she will sit us down. And she will say to us, "If you continue the way you are living, if you continue going in this direction," and she says, "this is what will happen. This is how you will end up." And I think sometimes that we as parents should not be afraid to warn, not just our children, but the generation in which we live in, that there is a day of judgment. It may be delayed, but that day will definitely come. And this is so real in Noah's story. He kept encouraging, he kept warning, he kept asking people to flee from that wrath that is to come. But it doesn't just end there. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 7 now, this was actually when the flood came. Look at Genesis chapter 7, and there you see. And I think that this is the last point that we need to take home on Father's Day. Look at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And he says there, "Then the Lord said to Noah," don't forget it took many years before the flood actually came. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household.'" And look at this. It says, "Because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Look at verse 7 of Genesis chapter 7. It says, "So Noah with his family," I like that, "his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood." So you can see the result of his witnessing. Noah warned his family for God. You know, when I read this verse of scripture, I began to think to myself, I said, I can preach all the gospels. I can preach from Genesis to Revelation, talking to people about the need for them to give their life to God. But what about my family? If I win the whole world for God and I have not won my family to God, have I really done my job as a father, as a preacher of righteousness, or whatever I'm called to do? And you see there that Noah warned his family for God. Now we know that saving people is not in our power, but all that God is saying to us is that do what you can. Preach, remind them, try as much as you can to win them for God, and then you leave the results to God. And there you see that description. On that day when the flood came, the Bible says that the Lord said to him, you come into the ark. And I think this is a great invitation, because that's what God does to us through his son Jesus Christ. He invites us to come in to Jesus Christ to receive him as Lord and Savior. But he doesn't just invite us alone. When he calls you as a man or as a woman or as a father or mother, he is saying also that invitation is also to your family members. I don't know how many of us have noticed this. In the book of Acts, we're not going to read it because of our time. You notice that anywhere when the church started, after the birth of the church, especially in Paul's ministry, you always see salvation not just for the person who is receiving it, but also for their household. So the Bible kept making emphasis that this is not just for you, but also for your household. And that's why it's very, very important if men or if fathers or mothers will see the need for them, not just that salvation is just for me alone, but it's also for my household. It's for my son who doesn't know God. It's for my daughter who is still in rebellion against God. It's for that uncle of mine who needs to come in. It's for that sister of mine who needs to repent and know God. Then if we have that sense of urgency, that God is not just calling me to come into the ark, but he's also inviting those who are linked to me, then I think that it will make it easier for us to begin to speak to them or begin to warn them. Sometimes today what you have, and I've heard this said over and over again, that you see the children of great preachers always turn out badly. And I said to someone, I said, that will not happen to me by God's grace. I know that there is a great deal of effort that preachers need to put in, especially with their own families. Because the danger there is, the more you're speaking to others, the more some of them are traveling, evangelizing, going to the mission field, they tend to neglect their own families. And that's why sometimes the family suffers, all because they are working for God. But that's not how it should be for us. God is saying the first place to start is with the family. God is interested in not just the preacher's life or the man's life, but God is also interested in the life of those who have been called into his family. Noah warned his family for God. And I think that on Father's Day, that is one what we need to be reflecting on. Are we really making every effort to win our families for God? Have God given you a message to share with your family, but you have never bothered to share that message with your family? Or have you become a product of the society in which we live in? Yes, you know what is right. You know the truth of the gospel, but somehow you are ashamed to speak that truth and remind people that there is a God that still saves, or that one day we will have to give account of our lives to God. Noah was a different type of father. Yes, he may not be the perfect father, but at least there is something that we can learn from him. And I pray that may God enable us not just to win our families to Christ, but to help us to walk with God, to help us to keep witnessing for Christ, to help us to expect our family members to follow that faith that we also have in Jesus Christ. Shall we bow our hearts as we reflect on these things that we've looked at this morning?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.